You've got it on KHUM, and our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. This is our 16th campaign here on KHUM, and this week we are dealing with the violence in the lives of youth. And joining me in studio, we have got Rochelle Trottenberg of the Department of Health and Human Services, Humboldt County Transitional Age Youth Collaborative. That is a long title.
Sure.
And we are also joined by Tia and Kyle. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Rochelle, first off, what does your organization do?
Good question. So our organization is the Humboldt County Transition Age Youth Collaboration, and we are an organization that serves young people between the ages of 16 and 26 that have ever experienced either homelessness, foster care, probation, mental health struggles, or LGBTQ identified folks. And we do a lot of policy and system improvement work with those youth. So it's really about bringing young people to the table, giving them the tools that they need to engage in changing policies that affect their lives so that the services that we have in Humboldt County really meet the needs of young people.
A lot of stuff on the plate there.
Yeah, we do a lot.
I'll say. And Tia and Kyle, do you two work with the organization?
Yes. We're both youth advisory board members for HCTC.
And the youth advisory board could seat up to 5 young people. And it's a stipend position, and the Youth Advisory Board really represents the core leadership of our organization. They're the young people that are going out and talking to other young people about the things that are most important to them in their lives and bringing that feedback back to the county to make changes.
Do you find it works better to have young people interfacing with young people?
I think it's pretty essential to the process.
Yeah, I would imagine so. A little trust. Things,
yeah,
right?
Not only trust, but the ability to understand experiences, because there are generational differences in what happens in our lives. And it's easier to have somebody get you when they're closer to your age.
And we're also talking about a lot of the youth who participate with us are youth who are already sort of on the fringes. They're experiencing homelessness. They're experiencing violence on a daily basis from either their care providers or law enforcement or just other young people on the streets. And so having another youthful face brings another level of rapport and trust that can happen because it's already we're working with young people who've already been sort of marginalized and pushed out of our normal society. So
let me touch on the thing that caught my ear was the homelessness. Now, you think of young people generally, they're within a family, but often, I guess, in cases like this, that's not the case, right?
True. I mean, there's young people who are homeless with their families, but there's also a lot of young people who are completely homeless on their own. They're having to leave their home because of drugs and alcohol and other violence within their homes. Mm-hmm. They're also having to leave their home because of LGBTQ. We've had many youth come to our organization who are on the streets because their parents have kicked them out or they've been, beat so much because of their queer identity. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
So how do you help in that case? Someone's out on the street. What do you do?
Well, we listen. We try to get them, make sure that they know what resources do exist in our community, which aren't very many. I mean, it's the Raven Project and YSB, really, and that's it. But we try to get those young people back engaged in seeing how if they have a voice and they talk about what they're experiencing and joining our organization and fighting for better policies, that it's one way to deal with the pain that they're experiencing.
And it's something we have done before. We did focus groups with youth who have experienced homelessness or houselessness and presented those recommendations to the Housing and Homeless Coalition locally here in Humboldt County, to a lot of the service providers who deal directly with the youth. And through the process of creating our recommendations to them, we really found out what the homeless youth wanted changed and what they needed and support-wise. And so our ability to vocalize their needs is what's really essential to preventing violence that would occur to them either in these service provider facilities or programs and on the street.
Now, you think of Humboldt County as a pretty progressive place, but there's still violence and discrimination that happens with the gay, lesbian community.
Yes, there is. And a large part of that, I feel, happens a lot in the schools. A large part of my activism in HCTC, personally, has been focusing upon queer issues and queer activism. I experienced a lot of violence in schools, and we had the opportunity to bring the Trevor Project to work on some trainings to create anti-bullying education. We partnered with South Fork High School's Equality Club, and we did we brought youth down there as well as worked with youth there to spread anti-bullying education.
How'd that go?
It went really well. The training was really well received. We built some really good connections, because South Fork is fairly rural, and when people think of Humboldt County, usually it's Arcata, McKinleyville, Eureka, and those schools have had a lot of progress in the recent years, actually. In my own personal experience in working with youth who are currently going to those schools, but rarely do the queer activists in our communities manage to make it down to South Fork. And so I really feel that the work we did was really essential and help bridging the gaps where it's needed.
And we were mentioning this a little bit off air, but I'll mention it right now. One of the things that kind of surprised me when we checked into this issue a few years back, you would expect outlying areas to be having issues like that. But one of the biggest problems that I saw was actually at Arcata High, which is, right in the middle of, the most progressive town in all of Humboldt County. And that was a huge issue there.
Yes. In the experience of my friends and people I've worked with, it has been a huge issue, but in the recent years, actually, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of really great work that's been happening. I know that Arcata High GSA is really active, and they're doing a lot of good work and to change the environment there. There have been huge campaigns in the past years. There's been a lot of staff support. And so things, and specifically at Arcata, I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years have really shifted.
That's good. That's very good. It's one of the things that, that contributes is just standard conversation and expressions. Like one of the expressions that's fairly commonplace is, "Oh, that's so gay." And, just that alone, can help foster problems within a community.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we are trying to do with young people that choose to participate with our organization is to have a place that's really inclusive of everybody and where we really challenge each other around the language that we use. And we hope that that then will trickle out into the schools and out into the community, because we really build deep relationships with each other when within this organization. And so it can make a big difference just to keep each other accountable.
Absolutely.
With our language.
And you mentioned bullying, and to some people bullying, it seems like that's such a small minor thing, and I guess to someone who's never experienced it, I guess it would seem that way. But it really can be very painful, especially depending on what kind of bullying it is. I mean, when I was in high school, the kind of bullying I experienced was, because I was very small as a teenager, and I was constantly being shoved into lockers or tossed into trash cans and stuff like that. It's bad enough, but if you are perceived as different and being bullied for that, it could be devastating. I mean, there the suicide rate for teens is very high, especially among the gay lesbian community.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I mean, bullying is is a problem, and it really like can take a whole lifetime to recover from the bullying that happens growing up in schools. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate because we have zero tolerance policies to deal with bullying, but that doesn't seem to stop people from bullying. And so it looks like an ineffective tool that we use. And so one of the things that HCTC's been advocating for, both in schools and within our justice system, within our community, is to be implementing restorative justice practices, which is really just a theory about looking at injustice. And I think Tia wanted to say something about that.
Please do.
So, excuse me. So we actually did some policy recommendations around this particular facility here in Humboldt. And I actually got to participate in meetings where we got to pick a new model for the program. And we actually got a program called Risking Connections and Restorative Approaches. And Risking Connections teaches a relational framework and skills for working with survivors of traumatic experiences. The focus is on relationship as healing and on self-care for service providers. And restorative justice approaches aim to help young people, staff, parents, and guardians deal with situations where someone has been harmed. This approach gives those responsible for causing harm an opportunity to understand how their behavior affects others and to put things right. And it can also help to reduce the need for exclusion or getting locked up.
So that's just one great example of where young people in our community came together, said that there was a need, went to the county responded and said, what do you want us to do about it? And Tia was the leader really in looking at different approaches and advocating all the way up through the various levels of hierarchy for this program and worked together with staff and stuff that are in that particular program to take this on. Yeah, so it's a great example of how we're trying to really stop violence between youth and adults and youth and youth.
So. And youth and youth. Speaking of youth and adults, one of the situations that I'm sure you have to deal with is abusive households where kids are growing up in abusive households where there's excessive use of drugs and alcohol or just abusive behavior in general. How do you guys step in when something like that's happening?
Good question. Well, I'm a former foster youth and I entered foster care because of physical and sexual abuse in my home, and drugs and alcohol certainly played a large role in some of that. And so one of the things that I do is I try to tell my story so that other people feel like they can tell their stories. And now that I work for the county, I'm a mandated reporter. So I'm constantly having conversations with people about how my role is with them and also what my legal obligations are. But a lot of times we're working with young people who've already experienced that violence and are not in their homes or are homeless because they ran from that violence. So we're really just trying to give them opportunities for healing. One of the ways we do that is through digital storytelling, which we take 10 youth every year down to Berkeley to create little mini 3 to 5 minute documentaries about their experiences and their lives. And we use those as training tools for professionals and for other youth to understand like the deep emotional impact that violence really has on our lives. And we also do things like training the community about violence and abuse. So Tia and Quayle both did a big presentation for the Child Abuse Prevention
Coordinating Council.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. CAPC, they have a big acronym.
CAPCC there is you go. The acronym.
So that's one of the ways that we go about trying to address the violence.
What about youths that are still in the situation? They're still, at home in a very abusive situation. I've known of several that have gone down the road of wanting to become like an emancipated youth. Mm-hmm. Can you help with that or point them in the right direction?
Well, I can definitely point them in the right direction. And we have this new division under Health and Human Services called the TAE Division. And there's a whole bunch of service providers now, youth-friendly service providers that actually Tia and Quayle were part of hiring, that are able to help even more with sort of the direct service. But I had a call last week from a young person who was experiencing violence and needed a place to stay. And I picked that youth up and took him to YSB. And that was the best thing that I was able to do so that that youth could get out of the situation they were in. So.
Good. I guess, but before we wrap up, which we do have some time yet, some success stories that you want to share, things that you are proud of the organization has done that, you know.
There are quite a few things to be proud of that HCTC has done. All of our policy recommendations that we've made to various service providers in the county, and also some of the upcoming work. We've won an award from Humboldt Pride last year as an outstanding organization, and we're continuing the work we're doing in the queer community next week, actually, on Friday for Trans Week of Remembrance, because there was a vocalized need from our youth that there needs to be more trans education in our community, and in specific to service providers and organizations to make place for trans people. And so that's really essential. All of the trainings we've done have been really amazing, and a lot of great feedback and network building with youth. Tia's role, I think, really was inspirational in our recommendations to SBPEZ. Would you like to talk about those?
So when we did our recommendations to the SBPEZ, I actually...
which is Semper Virens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Semper Virens and the Psychiatric Emergency Services Unit, which are their inpatient... units. I actually, while we're getting, one of the reasons I got involved with HCTC was I'm a former client there. I used to be admitted there quite often. And I had both positive and negative experiences. And so for me, being involved with that and like presenting these recommendations to staff was really interesting for me.
Is it gratifying for you too, having gone through some stuff yourselves to be able to help others?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Most definitely. It's the reason why I do all of the work that I do. There's no other way to... It's a really healing process, I feel, that HCTC does. And what I'm personally proud of is the self-work that I have been allowed to do in the process of advocating and making the community better for other people.
I think my history is what drives me, you know. Being involved with HCTC gives my personal history and struggles a purpose. And so when I'm working with, when I'm dealing with other youth who've either been dealt with mental health issues or have internalized harm done to them, I can relate to that. And so I get to use my past experience to help others. You know,
with that said, and this whole campaign, you know, we deal with people who've been through various violence, who have shared their experiences, and it's a real gift to the community because, you know, people hear this and they go, you know, a lot of people feel like they're alone in the world, that they're the only ones who've experienced this, and it's really good to hear people who have been through stuff and made it through the other side and are doing good things in the community. It shows you that you really can get past it. I mean, can't undo what happened.
No.
But you can certainly find ways of living with it, moving beyond it, finding strength from it.
Mm-hmm.
With any of you who want to share any of your experiences, do. If you don't, please don't. It's up to you. If you wanted to share any of the experience that you've been through, to just help anyone get past what they're going through, feel free. If you're not comfortable with it, don't. I'm just kind of putting you on the spot there. So if you're not comfortable with it, you know, don't say anything. Any of you?
I would say that one of the things growing up, I experienced a lot of physical violence and also sexual abuse from family members. And, for many years, that was the thing that made me feel like I didn't have a place on this earth and left me feeling really hopeless and really suicidal a lot. And the healing is like an onion. There's always new layers to it. And it will forever impact somebody throughout their life. So like, while I'm not physically traumatized or experiencing like a lot of PTSD symptoms because of the abuse. Whenever I go to a medical doctor, I have to explain why I have different, you know, physical symptoms, and you know, people's responses and reactions to things like that are hard as an adult even. And at the same time, when I feel like this job, I got this job really because I went to a meeting and talked about my personal experience. And I think that over time, the more I talk about it, the more other people talk about it. And that's really where the healing continues to take place.
And it should be said that the healing process can be painful. I mean, you're bringing up a lot of painful stuff, and it's, you know, it's not easy, but, you know, it's also a bit cathartic to bring it up, experience it, and move past it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that seems to be, you know, the common thread that's been going through this campaign is that, you know, whether you deal with it now or 10, 20, 50 years down the road, it generally needs to be dealt with at some point. And generally it'll start leaking its way out into your lives if you're not dealing with it at some point.
Yeah. There's lots of red flags for that.
Lots of ways that your mental health tries to, you know, deal with it at some point. Because those boxes they're not completely solid. No. You can't totally wall off all these feelings.
No. We really try, but it doesn't really work
out. You really try. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I can, you know, I've never been through anything like that. The only thing I've been through is, you know, an accident. I was hit while I was cycling, and that was 4 years ago. And to this day, I still feel, you know, if I hear a car screeching or something, it's, you know, my reaction is way stronger than it would be before that. And I imagine it's probably going to be that way forever. It's just because of the experience. So,
yeah.
You know, we're all changed by it, you know, but, you know, for me, I've decided to take that and make it a positive and do a trail advocacy program that I do here on the station, you know, and you guys are taking your experiencing and, you know, moving it towards healing for others. Mm-hmm. And that's to be commended.
Thank you.
So, before we wrap up, I'd like you to, you know, talk to whoever might be out there. Who are the people that should be contacting you?
The people that should be contacting us are any youth between the ages of 16 and 26 years old who feel like they've ever been impacted by the child welfare foster care system, by the juvenile probation system, by mental health struggles, by homelessness, or that identify as LGBTQ and are looking to get involved in changing policies that affect the lives of young people. So that's the best way. We can be reached on the web at humboldtyouth.org.
Or Facebook.
Or Facebook.
At facebook.com/HCTAYC.
And all of our other contact information is also on our website, which again is humboldtyouth.org.
Excellent. All right. Well, Tia, Quayle, and Rochelle, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's been good. And we'll continue this conversation tomorrow. Nicole Gaines of Six Rivers Planned Parenthood is going to be in. She is the education director there. She will also be bringing in a youth representative as well. Anyway, you've got it on KHUM, and this conversation, along with all the conversations that we've had on this campaign, you'll find archived at khum.com. Just click on the Stop the Violence page.